Okay, shalom to everybody. We are continuing the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who has left the cave, and his son-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, the famous tzaddik, came out to greet him. We'll read it inside in source number one. Shama Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair chatnei v'nafak la'apei, aile libei banei. He heard that his father-in-law and brother-in-law had left the cave, and he went to greet them, and he took them to the bathhouse to treat their skin. Ka'arich le lebisre, like we said last time, after being up to his neck in sand for 13 years, they just put on their clothes for prayer. So their skin was problematic. Chazidavi be pili begufe havikabachi, and Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, as he treated his father-in-law, started crying. Vikanatru dimat ene vikametzavchile, and the tears of the son-in-law got onto the skin of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and it hurt him. The salt water from the tears pained him, so he yelled. Amarle, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said, Oili shere'iticha bekach. Oi, it's terrible that I see you in such pain. Amarle, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai answered, Ashrecha shere'itani bekach. It's good that you have seen me this way. She omale lo re'itani bekach, lo matzata bekach. For if you did not see me this way, you would not have found in me this. In other words, the Torah that I am giving over to you, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai attributes it to the fact, notice, he doesn't attribute it to the fact that he has pain. He attributes to the fact that re'itani bikach, that you have seen me in my pain. And here we're going to deal with an interesting question of how our children or students should see us and what we should let them see and what we should not let them see. I remember when my grandmother passed away, it was the first time that I saw my mother ever cry. And I was 15, and it made a very strong, lasting impression on me. And the question is, should we let our children see us cry? Is that good? Is it bad? And as we're going to see, Rav Kook also takes this to a higher level. We try and be humble. We try and hide our volunteering, our good deeds. That's part of the humility. On the other hand, how do we expect our children to want to emulate us if we don't let them see what we do? If everything we do in secret, so they're not going to learn from us. And this was a problem that Rav Avadya Yosef brings up. One of the problems, for example, a totally different example, that when it comes to Tarat Mishpacha, the laws of family purity, the custom is to hide from the children when the woman goes to the mikveh. On the other hand, a generation rose up in America. They say this was part of the problem. Rav Avadya Yosef brings it down that they don't know that their mothers go to the mikveh, because it's not the type of thing that you tell their children. So even when the daughters get married, they think, oh, it must not be such an important thing. I guess not everyone does it. And that's what Rav Avadya Yosef says also about learning the laws of family purity. On the one hand, obviously, intimate issues we don't want to talk about in public, right? That's part of the idea of tzniut, of modesty. On the other hand, if we are modest about these issues, there may be people who will never hear about them, and that's also a problem. Bekitzur, what Rav Kook is going to do here is to find the proper balance between these two aspects. Rav Kook writes as follows in source number two. Again, what is the line that we're going to deal with tonight? Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair says, Oi, that I see you suffering like this. To which Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, if you did not see me like this, you will not have learned from me this, the Torah. L'inyan koach ha-hashpa'ah sh'al acherim. Regarding the topic of influencing other people, she'achshav haita tkufa hechela liyot ba'ah. Now Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, after building himself in the cave, which symbolizes the yeshiva, he separated himself from life for 13 years, and now he's trying to go back to the world, and he wants to influence the people with the Torah and spirituality that he has learned. V'adai chisaron gadolhu chalishuta chomriyut umiyut kocho. Rav Kook starts out by saying that being weak and being sickly and having physical problems, like the skin problem, and being crying in pain, that is not good, for at least two reasons. Number one, if a person, as we saw last week, if a Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is on such a high spiritual level that he doesn't relate, he can't relate to the physical world and to normal people, he's not going to succeed in educating them. Right? You have to be on the same wavelength. It's interesting, I didn't mention this last week, but it's really connected with what we spoke about last time. Rav Kook in Eder Ayakar talks about, excuse me, how on the one hand, we always talk about how the arrow of evolution and improvement of the world, of the individual, of mankind, that's constantly improving. On the other hand, there's this concept of hitkatnut hadorot, that the generations, davka, are going down, that the further we leave from Mount Sinai, the lower the generations are. So these two phenomena seem to contradict. And Rav Kook explains that hitkatnut hadorot, the idea of the generations sinking, that is regarding the gedolim. The rabbis, the teachers, they are on a much lower level than the Rishonim, than the Amoraim, than the Tanaim, than Moshe Rabbeinu. On the other hand, the masses are rising, because today everyone's learning Torah. Anybody who wants to can learn. There are a lot more frameworks than ever before. Women are learning something that wasn't around 120 years ago. So what's happening is, Rav Kook explains, that the Gedolim are going down and the masses are rising in order that we should meet in the middle. So, connected with what we saw now, that if a rabbi, if a teacher is not on the same wavelength, if he's on his own spiritual world, if he's still in the mindset, in the mode of the cave, of the yeshiva, he's not going to succeed. And it's a very common problem that rabbis in their first shteller, in their first job, they're fresh from yeshiva. They expect everything to be ideal like it was in yeshiva. And they have a problem relating to people where they are. So that's problem number one, why a person has to be healthy in order to be on the same wavelength as the masses, as the students. Point number two is also a technical point. If a teacher is not healthy. I just heard about that Demor HaChalutz, who was the one who wrote the words, Elu hayali koach hayiti yotze lashuk. If I had strength, I would go out to the marketplace and yell out Shabbat Hayom Lashem. And that Demor HaChalutz really did not have koach. He was very sick. He had a heart problem. He had kidney stones. In the end, he died at a young age. And if a rabbi or a parent, today everything that we're talking about in education is true for most of the participants here, if a parent is sickly, he can't educate the children. And also if a parent is not on the same wavelength, spiritual or physical, as the child, he also can't influence them. But of that, we spoke mostly about last time. Rav Kook continues, Af al pi Shilumata ma'ala el yona shila isha mitale mikolele in hadvarim alalu murgashim. Even though that somebody who's on a super high spiritual level, he doesn't even feel the physical pain. Rav Kook here is relating to who cried. Is that clear from the Gemara who was crying? Was it the tears of the son-in-law that hurt Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that caused him to yell? Or was it that the treatments of his skin, and his skin hurt him so much, that Rishon Bar Yochai himself cried, and that salt hurt his wounds. Rav Kook is going in the direction that it was the son-in-law's tears. And the Rishon Bar Yochai was on such a high spiritual level, he didn't even notice what was going on. It didn't hurt him. Until his son-in-law's tears, that's what hurt him. Interesting. Ve'or shel chayim yoter nizgavim she'mamtikim et kol tsar morgash she'yachol li'damot me'ir ve'chofef tamid al neshama elyona ha'hi. I've never given childbirth, but supposedly part of the way of dealing with the pain of childbirth is that you know that there is going to be something sweet at the end, a cute little baby. And Rav Kook is saying that when somebody has something to look ahead to, they can rise above pain. There's a famous Hasidic Rebbe, I forgot who at a time that either there were no painkillers or there were no painkillers available, and they had to amputate one of his feet, and they were worried that he'd die of the pain. And the Rebbe said, "Don't worry. I'll think of a sugya, or I'll sing a nigun, and I will rise above the pain." So Rav Kook is saying that maybe Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was able to rise above the pain itself of his skin, but when the tears started falling on his skin, that's when he began yelling from pain. Piska bet. Omnam. Hatshuva hi shesof kol sof ha'itgalut el-yona sheba ad lemidat shikhat ha'guf u'shlitato legamrei. This idea of rising spiritually so high that you don't even feel the needs or the pain of the body. Rak hi tuchal la'vi et ha'adam she'achshav bikanso el-chug chayei ha'chomer yuchal l'na'agam u'lashpia or yikarot al anashim ha'yerudim hashkuim b'chayei ha'chomer. As we said before, as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai makes the transition from the yeshiva world, the ideal midrasha or cave, into the world of education, where he has to start educating children and people who are not on such a high spiritual level, he has to rediscover the idea of pain. What pain means, what the physical world is about. Again, he has to be on the same wavelength, and also, he has to treat his pain so that he can be able to teach, or that a parent should be able to function. Piska Gimel. Alken Amar. Shelo dai le'inyana kinyan ha'atzmiya nogea l'malato apratit. Ho'il achurbana chomriyaze. Kim gam ken le'inyana ashpa'a. Ashrecha shereitani bakach. In addition to that which we've said now, Rav Kook is adding, he's making a diyuk, he's deducing from the Gemara. The Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is telling his son-in-law, you should be happy that you have seen me this way. Note, Rav Kook is deducing. It doesn't say, it's good that I'm suffering, and you might understand the Gemara totally different. He's not saying it's good that I'm suffering. He's saying it's good that you see me in my suffering. Why? Ki achshav harbe yoter ma'od tuchal le'anot mima'ora chokhma bokea beziv or mavhik shim lo ri'itani bekach lo matzata bekach afilu mitzad hamida shel ha'ashpa'a hamityacheset elecha. Even regarding the influence that you, the student, want to receive from me, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, she mishtalemet rak lefi ha'ilui shel hishtalmut ha'yechidit shel ha'kedusha ha'elyona ha'gvoha mikol hashpa'a. Ulefi, excuse me. In other words, the student has to see the Rebbe yell. Not that he has to, not that every Rebbe has to yell, or that every parent has to suffer, but there is something that the student should see the teacher or the parent as a human being. And that way, they can learn from them that much more. ולפי מידת המעלה היחידית, שאין כל שפה ולשון יכולה להביע הכוננת עמוק בחדרי הנשמה. And what did the son-in-law, the student, hear? He didn't hear words. He heard Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai yell from pain. That yell is not something that you can put into words. And Rav Kook is explaining that this symbolizes that there are certain things, certain levels, certain actions of the parent or of the rabbi, the teacher, which you can't put into words. But afterwards, once he has seen you, who you really are, on your high level, כך תגדל גם כן מידת ההשפעה החיצונה באותן הדברים היכולים להיות נמסרים ומתבטאים בפה ולשון לחוץ. That if we let our children learn from us, also through letting them see our spirituality, our whole selves, our strengths, and sometimes we have to explain our weaknesses, then after they have heard our yell without words, they can then understand our words, our Torah, and that which we want to give over in a regular way. In other words, what Rav Kook is telling us is that children and students have to respect their parents. If there's no respect, there's no way that they're going to learn from you. As the Pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech writes in Kohelet, Chochmat ha-misken bezuya u'dvarav einam nishma'im. That the words of a Nebuch are scorned, and nobody listens to him. Parents are not allowed to let their children step on them. And also certain weaknesses or negative points, it's really better that the children don't see. But in addition to that, it is important not to hide our good points, because otherwise, where are the children going to learn from? Rabbi Yudah Chassid writes in Source 3 in Sefer Chassidim, he deals head on with this issue. Rabbi Yudah Chassid lived about 800 years ago, and he writes as follows: Ve'im rotze l'shabeach atzmo l'talmidav u'l'chavero k'dei sh'yomad midrachav. Good question. Is a person allowed to praise himself, not praise, but to reveal certain good actions that he did so that others, his students, his children, his friends, can learn from him? Yachol hu l'shabeach et atzmo. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says, that's no problem. If you volunteer for something, let your kids know about it. If you give tzedakah, if you lend money to someone, let your kids know about it. You don't have to tell them who you lent money to or who you gave tzedakah to, right? But it is important, again, just like you don't have to announce to the whole family that you're going to the mikveh, but somewhere along the line, especially to your daughters, you do have to point out, yeah, I go to the mikveh. Yeah, I daven 3 times a day. Yes, for example, that's a good example. A lot of times the best way to have kavana and to concentrate in davening is to go into a side room and just close the door. But what Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is saying is it's good that your children and that your students see you davening as well. And that becomes part of the norm, what a normal Jew does. And even if they're teenagers, what's called in Hebrew, tipeshes, right? And they're not into davening, it still is registered that this prayer business, that is something important. That my mother stops whatever she does, and she sets aside time to daven. And then Rabbi Yehuda Chassid brings some interesting proofs. He says from Kalmoshe Amar David, David HaMelech writes in Sefer Te'ilim, Va'ehi tamim imo, and I will be, tamim literally means perfect, with God. To be complete with God, that might sound arrogant. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says no, because David HaMelech is writing it for us. And then another pasuk, Ki shamarti darkei Hashem. David HaMelech is saying, I observe the ways of God. Again, that might sound arrogant, but if we don't have, if David HaMelech doesn't let us learn from him, who are we going to learn from? And again, this is an important message. And then he brings another proof. V'chein matzino oto she'igid le'talmidim b'ma he'arich yamim. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah in Daf Kafchet, and the Gemara in Masechet Megillah, Daf Kafchet, also, interesting, it's both Kafchet, they both talk about students who asked the Rebbe, B'ma he'arach de'yamim? What did you do special, extra credit, that brought you a long life? Right? It's not just that you do the mitzvot, because a lot of people do the mitzvot, but you must have done something special. So one Rebbe says, Mi amai lo kidmani adam bebeit hamidrash. I used to arrive first in the yeshiva, or first in shul. Another one says, Lo hikpadati betoch beiti. I never got angry at home. I didn't yell at my wife or children. Another one says, Lo itkabadati biklon chaveri. I didn't raise myself at the expense of a friend. And all of these things, you could ask, hey, what about humility? Right? What is this that a person, the students ask, how did you, Zoche, what did you do to be granted a special life? And they told their students. And what Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is telling us, and that's the direction that Rav Kook is also going, we'll see it even more explicitly soon, that it is important. Not only is it allowed, but it's important to point out to your kids. If you're up till 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, cleaning, cooking, volunteering, learning, whatever it is, tell your kids about it the following morning. Again, not to gloat, not to brag, but they should know that that is part of life. Part of life is being altruistic, that I stay up late for the family, for my students, for my job, I'm a dedicated worker, I'm a dedicated this or a dedicated that. And again, it might sound unhumble. And this is the question that we're dealing with. In the Rambam, in source number 4, I brought for you from Hilchot Matnot Aniyim, Perek Yud Halachachet. He writes as follows. The Rambam, it's a famous Rambam, talks about 8 different levels of tzedakah, where everybody knows that the highest level is to give a person a job, right? That way he can support himself, not just for that week, but Bezrat Hashem ad Me'a Ve'esrim, till 120. But what is the second level, the Rambam says? Pachot Mizeh, the second highest level of tzedakah, Hanoten tzedakah laniyim, ve'lo yeda leminatan, ve'lo yeda ha'anim mimilakach, sharei zo mitzvah lishma, that you give money anonymously. You don't even know to who you gave. He doesn't know who gave the money. And kagon lishkata chashayim shaita b'migdash, there was a special place in the Beit HaMikdash, shayu tzadikim notnim ba b'chashay, that people, tzadikim, would give secret gifts. V'aniyim b'nei tovim mitparnasim mimena b'chashay. And the poor people from the good families, they would also take the money. Nobody knew when you went in if you were a giver or if you were a taker. So that way, I understood that recently in Corona, that there are a lot of families, well-to-do families who have good names, they just lost a lot of money or they were unemployed and they had to start asking the community for tzedakah, and they had to figure out a way in the communities to give these people tzedakah without embarrassing them. So the idea of giving anonymously without having your name on the building, that obviously is a higher level. But, and this is the big but, we learned together, those of us who were in the shiur 8-9 years ago, the Gemara Masechet Shabbat Daf Yud Amud Bet, we're running out of time, so I'll just do this orally. The Gemara says that we learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Anoten Matana L'Chavero, whoever gives a gift to his friend, tzarich lo'odio, you should tell your friend. And we learn this out from God. As Hashem says, la'da'at, you should know, ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. And when Hashem gave us Shabbat, ladat, you should know, Hashem tells us, I am giving you a great gift. And Shabbat is the gift. And we learn from here that when you give a gift, you should tell the receiver. And then the Gemara goes on and says, Mikan amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, two lines from the end, Hanotein pat letinok tzarich lehodia leimo. If you give bread, or today it would be a candy, chocolate to a child, you should tell the mother. And it's not just to make sure that he brushes his teeth. What is the context here? It's to know that the receiver should say thank you. So that the mother should teach the child, ask him, did you say thank you? My father, Zichrono Livracha, whenever I would get a candy from Mr. Naaman, the candy man in our shul in Chicago, on the south side, first thing my father would say, did you say thank you? That is how we learn Midot Tovot. And Rav Kook here says something unbelievable. Source number 6 on this Gemara, which we just read in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Yud Amud Bet. Al kein anoten matana lechavero. Somebody who gives a gift to his friend, shekifi hanimus enoshi bayod behivadal mekabel yimalei levavo rigshei hakarat tova. That when the person knows who gave it, his heart will be filled with appreciation, and he'll say thank you. Limdunu chazal shelo yimana hatov haze liyot yotze min hakoach el hapoal. Don't prevent this from happening. Why might I prevent it? What is the havamina? Because I might have thought that we just learned in the Rambam that it's better to give a gift anonymously, that he shouldn't know that I'm giving him a gift. Rav Kook is saying, if I have to decide between my humility and the good midot of the children, of the community and the others and the next generation, they take precedent. I have to swallow my humility, tell the people that I gave them the gift, in order to enable them to have the good midah of hakarat tov. Im shanoten enenu chafetz, lo bakarat tova velo betashlume toda. A proper person who gives a gift, he does not want people to say thank you, and he doesn't want other people to know that he is the giver. Aval yesod amusari she'atid liyot notel chelek gadol batavat amtziyut, ra'ui l'tavcho, we should develop this. V'liten lo makom l'itrachev, and let this idea of hakarat hatov, of letting other people say thank you, we have to expand this. Because it's such an important idea to thank our parents, to thank our spouse, to thank our teachers, to thank our children, to thank everyone. And the more we have this hakarat hatov, and the more we let it spread, the better society will be. And this also sort of reminds us, Rav Kook, this is something that we once mentioned Ba'al Peh orally, now we can see it inside. Rav Kook in Midot Ari'ya, Midot Ga'ava, Kav Gimel, he writes, Tipshuti, source number 7, a very strong term. It is stupid. It is stupidity. Litbatel min alimud, to not learn Torah, because people might think that you're egocentric, or that you're holier than thou. O mikol davar tov, o michidush, o afilu miktivat chidushei Torah. This is something I remember before I wrote my first book. I thought of, you know, isn't that a type of arrogance, right? Putting your name on a book, writing a book. And I remembered what Rav Drukman once told me. He said, "Vechimi ata, who do you want to be? The rabbis and the teachers of Israel? The people who really are arrogant? The people who are not worried about arrogance but really are arrogant? Or the people who are not learning? Or the people who cannot write Chidushei Torah?" Rav Kook is very aware of the problem that, yes, bragging to your children, again, it's not bragging, but telling your children that you volunteer here, or that you learn this, or that you do this, that might not sound humble. But Rav Kook is telling us it is stupidity for the fear of losing humility to withhold good from other people. So what should you do? Rav Kook goes on and says, so battle ga'ava, fight ga'ava, learn musar that you shouldn't be arrogant, but this is not the time, right? If somebody is looking for somebody to speak, or somebody to volunteer, or somebody to draw to work on a simcha or something like that, that's not the time to say, I'm not artistic, or I don't know how to speak. You want to work on humility? Do it another time. Rav Kook is saying it is stupid to withhold what you can give to Am Yisrael just because you're scared that maybe you have a certain amount of ga'ava involved. And somebody just told me on Shabbat, very interesting story. It was one of the great giants of Musar. What was the story? That his Rosh Yeshiva once asked him, he was collecting money for a yeshiva. And his Rosh Yeshiva asked him, when you collect money for the yeshiva, what percentage are you thinking L'shem Shamayim, for the sake of God? And what percentage are you thinking about your percent, about your bringing money to your family, or your feeling of arrogance, ga'ava, look how successful I am? So the person said, in all honesty, I think it's 90%. I don't think about L'shem Shamayim. I don't do things L'shem Shamayim. To which the Rosh Yeshiva said, 90%? It should be 100%. Because if a person is doing a mitzvah, and his ego will gain from it, and his status will gain from it, and his bank account will gain from it, then that will drive him that much stronger to do the mitzvah properly. Now, obviously, it's important to be humble, and arrogance is something very negative. Nevertheless, the point here that the Rosh Yeshiva was making, that Rav Kook here is making, is you got to have priorities. Don't let humility hide your good qualities from your children or from your students. Like we saw in Rabbi Yehuda Hasid, you have to let them know. And he brings good proofs from David HaMelech and Psukim from Tehillim. David isn't bragging, I am so close to God. But he wants us to know, yes, that a person can become close to God. And all those Rebbeim in the Gemara and Masechet Sukkah and Masechet Megillah, they weren't bragging, oh, I do this and I do that and I do... But they want their children and their students to know what can and should a good person do. To be a dugma ishit, to be a living example. And the same thing I brought in the Midrash Rabbah, Vayikra Rabbah Yud Tet. This is what Rav Avadya Yosef brings. Shchorot ka'orev. On the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, dark as a raven. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak Patar Karya, he explained that this Pasuk is talking about Beparshiyotea shel Torah. Af al pi shenirot ke'elu hen ke'urot u'shchorot le'omran b'rabim. Even though there are some topics which seem too intimate or too modest, and we shouldn't talk about them in Rabbim. For example, the laws of Nida, the laws of family purity, etc., etc. Chazal are telling us, yes, it might be uncomfortable, it might be even ugly as a black as a raven, nevertheless, that is something that we have to do. Tedalecha shuken, sharei parshat zav v'zava lo nemru ka'achat. Here's another interesting diuk. The laws of zav, the emissions that come from a man's body, and zava, the emissions that come from a woman's body, lo ne'emru ka'achat, they were not said together in the Torah. El zo bifnei atzmo v'zo bifnei atzma. Ish ish ki yez zav mibsaro, v'isha ki yazuv zov dama. That, I'm sorry?
Can you Can you please scroll down?
Yeah, scroll it down. Thank you. That the Torah, when it talks about the man's emissions from his body, is talking to the men. When it talks about the emissions from a woman's body, is talking to the women. But it's there in black and white in the Torah. I think I mentioned once I wrote a series of articles on how wrong it is for teachers in elementary school to skip over certain parshiot in the Torah which seem immodest or inappropriate to learn with children. I had teachers that didn't teach us about Reuven and Bilhah and Yehuda and Tamar. And Chazal come out very strongly, and all the poskim agree, you should not skip when you learn Torah. God is a better educator than we are, and he knows that it's children who are learning Torah. Obviously, you explain it to them on their level. You don't have to go into all the details, but you have to teach it. And similarly, again, that's what Rav Kook is saying in our context, that parents and rabbis have to let their children know the good deeds that they do. Unfortunately, the bad deeds or the mistakes that we sometimes make, our children pick up. So we have to go out of our way not to be humble, not to worry about arrogance, not to pretend that we're bragging. And you know what? Even if we are bragging a little, obviously try and hide it, but don't hide the action, the positive action, from your children or from your students. And again, it's all a question of priorities. Humility is important. And matan beseter, giving tzedakah anonymously, is important. But if we have to choose between that and educating the community, the needs of Am Yisrael, the community, the others, our children, is more important than my humility. And now we understand and have an important limud zchut for all those people, the Rothschilds, the Jesselsons, the Bentheims, the Rennerts, all those people who donate buildings and hospitals and shuls, and they have their name on the building. Rav Kook is telling us, yes, maybe they themselves should prefer giving the money anonymously, but it's important for the community that people know that there is hakarat hatov, there is honor, deserved honor, for those who dedicate money or time or volunteer for Am Yisrael.